filling in is Andy Pate, party of choice.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, along with the talent, Anil Mathai, who just loves to be called that.
No.
My gosh, 2 hours of makeup before we came on, and then you had to do it again before just at break time?
Yeah.
My gosh, he actually got his nails done. I don't even know how that's applicable. How's that helping the radio?
Yeah.
You know, pride goes before a fall. You can't invest in your ego too much. Okay.
I do like pedicures if I could get one, yeah.
Do you wake up every day and just say, I want to feel pretty. I am pretty.
No, I got to get to work. It's too late.
I got to get to work. It's too late. Okay, well, joining us right now is somebody who, are you referred to as pretty everywhere you go?
Oh, no,
John Marriott.
Absolutely not. I never got anywhere on my looks. Absolutely anywhere.
Okay, we are joined right now by Arvada City Councilman John Marriott. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Okay, Anil's with us for another segment, so I'm going to actually kind of turn... I'll ask questions, but I really want to turn it over to you guys a lot more. And we're going to be talking about, obviously, you're always running for re-election, but so many people, John, when they think about politics... They think national. They always think national. Why? Because you think the big names, Trump, Biden, and all this kind of stuff. And what are those people doing to us from Washington? But so much is happening, good and bad, at the local level. And what I'd like you to lead in on first is involving COVID. Because we have these little fiefdoms, okay, these little kingdoms around the area where some do it much better. Douglas County, they have people, the masks are coming off, people are getting back to business, businesses are booming again. Then you got other places that are not. What's happening up there in the city council of Arvada? What do you face? Is it going well? Is it being a challenge? What is it like being somebody up there trying to get us back to normal?
Yeah, so Andy, those are great questions. You know, you led that in with how important local government is.
Yeah.
Colorado's an interesting place in the country because half of all government spending in Colorado happens at the local level, mm-hmm. and only half of it happens at the state level. Now, there are places where it's 80-20 state-local, and so we
really
have, by design, powerful local governments.
Yep.
And the voters have continually kept it that way. You know, this last fall's election brought us a reduction in our state income tax rate. That was the voters really intentionally weakening the state government. At the same time, we have very powerful local governments. And local governments are city councils, county commissions, and almost as importantly, special districts. Things like parks and rec mm-hmm. districts and water and sewer districts. So, you know, Colorado has a lot of power at the local level, and it's why local government is so important around here. Other places, maybe not so much. But so you mentioned COVID, you know. So
yeah.
I own a business. I own a ski and snowboard rental store and retail store. And at the beginning of COVID, we had the city that my store is in, which is Wheat Ridge, decide that they were going to be the leaders in the metro area and require masks on everybody everywhere. And not only that, but we were going to make the retailers enforce it. They tried to make us up, make
okay,
us.
Okay, so they turned
the
you into COVID
mechanism.
Cops. They turned you into COVID cops.
Exactly. And predictably, because most business people are independent thinkers and you know, we really respond to our customers. That's who we answer to, not to our local government. There was a lot of pushback, and
sure.
and the city quickly changed their mandate to an advisory question.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things that can happen in local government. But here up in the northwest corner of the metro area where I serve, in Arvada, we never imposed a mask mandate on our citizens.
Awesome.
Some of our surrounding cities did. Mm-hmm. Westminster mm-hmm. did. Golden did. Wheat Ridge did. Of course, the northern communities of Boulder, Longmont, Louisville, they all did. We didn't, however.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we didn't was, I mean, there were certainly members of the city council who would have loved to have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because of the makeup of the city council that we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it right-leaning?
No.
Is it open-minded? Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So I would
there
say
you go.
We have a terrific city council, 7 members. We have a broad perspective there. You know, I my latest, over the last year, I have been saying true diversity is diversity of thought. Mm-hmm. It's not diversity of what we look like.
Yes.
It's how we think.
Yes.
And we've got a very diverse city council. We have every perspective on there, and we have a very good working group where mm-hmm. we get together, we discuss the issues, the positives, the negatives. Everybody can voice their opinion. And we don't have a lot of just blind ideology leading us any one way or another. So I think that works to our advantage. But we do have very spirited, very vigorous discussions, debates, and we're evenly split on things very frequently. And that's the way government's supposed to work.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, it sounds to me like they're more pragmatic and less right. ideological.
That's correct. And you mentioned, you know, pragmatic. One of the things... One of the reasons we didn't impose a mask mandate was because a local city council putting in a mask mandate in place is purely political. There's nothing, no city council or city has the medical expertise, the public health expertise to go tell our citizens what you must do when it comes to something with a mask mandate. Now, we are certainly political and we can take a political stand and do that. And I contend that all the city councils that did that, they were just making a political statement. The medical expertise, the public health expertise, that lies with counties, county health departments, tri-county health department, places like that. Mm-hmm. And they're part of the picture. They can give us, you know, hey, from a public health standpoint, we recommend you do this because of why. We have to look at much more than they look at, though. I contend community health is... You know, it's the medical health of the community, but it's the economic health of the community. It's the people's outlook. It's the success of our students. It's many more things than just how many people get sick, how many people go to the hospital. And so, you know, in our particular case, I think our council very rightly decided that a mask mandate was not appropriate, at least for us to do. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't do it.
Okay. Anil, contrast that somewhat with what you went through up in, well, what town are you in?
I'm in Westminster, the neighbor next door.
Okay, I knew what county you were in, but I've never known the town.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm on the Adams County side of Westminster. Right. Westminster split with Jeffco in Arvada. There's a small portion of Arvada that's in Adams County also.
That's
okay,
correct.
So how'd it go up there?
They have a mask mandate in place, and they are run by, they have four Republicans. You know, the mayor is a Republican. Who I think just resigned 2 days ago in a recall. So amazing situation. But first of all, thank you, John. Thank you to you and the council and the city of Arvada for recognizing that the people know what's best for themselves and they can take care of themselves. You know, that's the great thing about freedom. So appreciate that. Thanks for the courage. And that's why it's important, John and others, that's why it's important for people to get off of Facebook and all these other places. And if they want to make a difference, get to the city council meetings, get to the school board meetings, get to the county commissioner meetings, get involved in the county commissions. There's so many volunteer positions. John and others are setting that great example of why it's important. The local elections are our most important elections for us to change our direction of our state.
Okay, Anil, I want you to comment on John here for a second again. And how rare a bird is this? Okay, and what I mean is this. We usually have one of two kinds of people on the right, and it's either people who maintain their principles but cannot work across the aisle, or people who do nothing but compromise across the aisle, and before you know it, they have no principles, and you have mask mandates, and basically, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's all compromise, or it's all war.
Well, I mean, I think John sets an example. I don't know you well, and we don't know each other that well, but I would say he sets an example with a handful of people throughout Colorado in different local communities and governments that understand the pragmatic part of it. I want someone principled. At the same time, understand how to get certain things done. He's a business owner, he just talked about. He's not in the business for the principle of losing money. He's in the business of with the principle of making profit and growing his business. And he also understands from a pragmatic side, he's got to deal with multiple customers, okay? I'm a vice president. I have an MBA. I'm an engineer. I got all this stuff. We deal with different communities, but our principles can affect in the positive many different people and bring them along and help grow our counties and our local communities and those kind of things. And this is one example of that. So there's a pragmatic way our principles can win. Our principles are right. We just continue to move forward and help grow the community, especially our children.
John, would you say a lot of it is your skills that you have? Because I can tell you're a negotiator. You strike me, and there's a little bit of Trump there, you know, the art of the deal. Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
In being, you know, able to reach across and hammer out deals and so forth. But also, it sounds to me like you're a little bit lucky. Like you got some good folks on the other side of the aisle to work with.
Very, very, very much so. You know, part of getting things done, making deals, you know, there's two sides to every deal. Mm-hmm. And you've got to have someone willing on the other side, too. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that you make deals because that's the only thing that's important. Mm-hmm. Our principles are important, as mm-hmm. as you mentioned. And we have times when it's time to fight.
Yes.
And even if you end on the losing side, the principles matter and we fight for that. Mm-hmm. However, we, on the other hand, particularly at local government, and again, the importance of local government here is that we're here to serve the citizens.
Yes.
My business is coincidentally exactly the same. We make money, but we're mostly here to serve our customers.
Yes.
And if we serve our customers and serve our customers well, we are going to make money just fine.
Yeah.
And so I find that I take that from my business background into my city council job, that I'm here to serve citizens. Sometimes that means by being unyielding in a fight. We've just had an issue over the last 2 years in Arvada about a single hauler trash scheme that mm-hmm. that the city has set up. I was on the losing side of that. That was a 4-3 decision that went the opposite way for me. I was very against it. I very much value the free market. And that was a place where I offered compromises that could get me to vote yes for it. The other side was not willing to take it. So they got a fight out of me right from the end to continuing today,
mm-hmm.
Because there are times it is time to fight. However, it is also important that we have functioning city government, and local government tends to do that much better than the state house or anywhere else. And, you know, I find myself when I'm in the minority, my job is to shine the light in all the corners, mm-hmm. make sure everything is considered, bring everything to the table, make those vigorous arguments. And I don't compromise my principles mm-hmm. Ever. However, there are times when our job is to to take care of this issue, make this thing happen one way or another. So, yeah, it's a delicate balance. I've learned it through all my years of experience in business and kind of taken it to government with me.
And John brings up two great points. And number one is the servant leadership here. The people, these are the leaders you want in local government, across all government, that respect the citizen. They represent us in the facet of Arvada, Westminster, et cetera. So servant leadership. And just continue to fight in that direction and stand for what the issues are. And at the same time, John also brought up another issue, problem resolution. We got to solve problems. We got to identify the correct problems and solve them. It's not just rhetoric and all these kind of issues. At the end of the day, did the roads get taken care of?
Right.
All these issues taken care of? And if we don't bring solutions and solve the problems that are on the table, then none of this matters. And that's why with servant leadership and problem resolution, our local governments will set the direction, turning Colorado back in the right direction.
Okay, really quick here, before we go to break, I want to get a quick answer from each of you. And this is a toughie, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And that is this. What would be your advice for people who are dealing with, shall we say, meaner city councils, okay? Because the other side, and I'm going to call them that, the other side, there are people out there who are just flat out socialists right now on city councils in the metro area. And the other side, in a lot of these places, they come to these meetings with the purpose to defeat, not create. They only want to beat you, not create with you. And Anil, I'm going to have you go first. What is your advice? What can you even do in a situation like that in a few words?
Quickly, as a Christian, you pray for the other person. The other person is not my enemy, okay? Regardless, even if they consider me their enemy, I can't go in that direction. But I will still look resolute. I will go into the room and have the courage to stand up for the principles and fight for them, no matter what. At the end of the day, if they shut down my voice, no matter what, and I've cowered to their their threats, I haven't accomplished what I need to get done. My children and our community is looking for my voice and all of our voices. We just stand up resolute and continue to stand. They're not my enemies. We're fellow Americans. We'll fight to make this nation even greater than it is, but continue to stand up and don't get cowered down by people. Our principles are right. We continue to fight for them, and we're just going to make our state and nation even better.
Okay, John Marriott.
Well, and Anil, I agree with you on all those points. It's interesting. I observe these other councils and the way they work. And if you've got one that's six people all one way and one the other way, it's very easy for that one person to be discounted or be not mm-hmm. have no effect.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky to serve in a place that that's not the case. And if you were in that position, I would say what you do is you get going on elections and you change the makeup of that yes. council over time.
Yes.
But in the time when you're in the minority, I find what's effective is, one, be the most prepared person in the room.
Yes.
Be better able to speak on all these issues than anybody else. That's number one. Number two, I've always observed in local government and other places, too, how the right argument at the right time made by the right person changes the trajectory of something.
Yes.
So you look for those opportunities. Where can I make a difference here, even if I'm in the minority? And I think those opportunities present themselves. I think, you know, there's a various amount of strategies. The thing you have to remember is this isn't a fight about one issue. It's not about 1 year. It's not about one term. It's not even about one person's multiple terms on a city council. This is about the trajectory of our communities
yes.
over the long view. And always be looking for that. Try
yes.
to bend that trajectory to the positive over the long view.
Agree.
That puts you in the best spot.
Agree.
It sounds like both of you are basically saying, before you even go in, have the right mindset.
Yes.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, Anil, we must bid you adieu.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for joining us
nice
today,
to meet you. Anil.
Anil, nice seeing you.
Thank you.
Anil Mathai is leaving, folks, and I am going to take us to a break. So here we go. Next up is Gino's Auto. Right now, Gino's has a $74.99 four-wheel alignment special along with two oil change specials, $39.99 for standard or $59.99 for full synthetic, and we all know how expensive that can get. But more importantly, you just want your car cared for by the best. So call Gino's at 303-794-6700, or you can find them at ginosautoservice.com.
Now's the time to take advantage of Gino's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Breaks parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Gino's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Gino's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Gino's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
All right, Franktown Firearms is next. And right now, the wait time is about 3 days to buy a firearm, so it's better than it's been. If you're looking to start a collection or add to it, get in now, though, before those wait times get longer. 720-770-7777 or find Franktown at klzradio.com.
Find more guns and ammo at lower prices, only at Franktown Firearms. Everyone says they value long-term relationships with their customers, but the team at Franktown Firearms back up their words with actions by keeping their prices fair and their shelves as full as possible. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, the team at Franktown Firearms has developed a reputation for reliability, which allows them to keep their shelves stocked during nationwide shortages. Because they always have new shipments coming in, they haven't had to hike up prices, so you can find guns and ammo at or below MSRP. You will go back again and again to a shooting range and gun store where you feel respected, and the team at Franktown Firearms shows respect through reasonable prices and a consistent supply of guns and ammo. Fill out their contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends.
Follow me around. Go ahead and tell me. That was the last statement Senator Gary Hart made before he dropped out of the presidential race in 1987. By being ever accountable, you are free to do anything you set your mind to. Start your campaign now at klzradio.com/accountable.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. And, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I am doing about five things at once right now. I am here with Arvada Councilman John Marriott. And John, before we go any further, how can people support you? How can they reach you, support you, and keep you in place?
Well, Andy, thank you. I appreciate that. So I first ran for city council in 2013 and was elected. I was reelected in 2017. And so I'm running for my third term on the Arvada City Council. We're allowed three terms before we're term limited out. And so I'm up for election this November. You can go to my website, which is johnforarvada.com, and that's johnforarvada.com, and you can find out a little more about me, see some of the little video clips about me, and if you feel like donating, you can donate there too. But mostly, I want to hear from you. I want to know what's important to you, and I want to talk about the issues, because that's how we get things done, is through engagement.
Okay, we're going to do a real short segment here, and we'll on the other side of the break, we can talk more about business, because we have Joe on the line, and when I bring him on after the break, Joe knows business too. You're both businessmen, and I kind of want you two to talk.
Awesome. All right?
But before we do that, I want people to understand, when you support John Marriott, you're not just supporting John Marriott, the candidate, you're supporting somebody who is going to raise up other candidates. Because this is what you do. You're encouraging other people to run. You're coaching them. You're helping them. Give me just a little insight into what that is.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Andy, one of the most important things we can do is to have our local government have good qualified people in it, particularly people who have a business background or you know, think the way we do. And that all starts in local government as being appointed to a board or commission. We have a bunch of those in Arvada, and I encourage people to apply for those all the time. That's a great way to get in, work in a group, start understanding how cities work. Also, running for a special district board, those elections oftentimes are uncontested, and sometimes they even have to recruit candidates. But you serve, you learn how to do it. And then, of course, pay attention to what's happening in your community. If you feel like you're the person to do it, run for city council, contest a race. And if you don't, if you're not a candidate, if you don't want to serve, support a candidate. Because, you know, all of us candidates need support. And it's not just money. We need advice. We need a sounding board. We need all kinds of support, walking, signs, all kinds of things. And that's another great way to be involved and to have your viewpoint be influential.
Can I mention one other thing?
Sure.
During COVID, people have felt really isolated at home, alone. Even when they go out somewhere, everybody's wearing a mask, nobody interacts. When you get together and do these political functions like that, that is becoming the new way that people are actually seeing each other again.
In a way, yes. You know, our city council has met in person almost all the way through COVID. A lot of our meetings are Zoom meetings too. But yeah, you can interact in person that way. And look, this stuff, it affects all of us every day. It's important for you to be involved, and there's lots of ways for that to happen.
All right. Ready for a break?
I'm ready.
Okay. You look tired. You look worn out. John, you need a break. Okay. Extreme Auto Repair is up next, folks. I get it. I know. You know your auto shop. You've been going there for years, and they always give you breaks and discounts, and they claim you need everything they're fixing. How about just once you get a second opinion? These come free at Extreme with no pressure, and you'll probably find out they're a better deal. So call Extreme at 303-841-1071, or you can find them at klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. I'm sitting here with Arvada. I almost said Aurora. I'm from Aurora. Arvada City Councilman John Marriott. On the line, we got Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing, you know, the day didn't start out good. I was out working in my garden. I see this guy with his dog, and he stops, and his dog does some business on my lawn. The guy starts to walk away. He goes, hey, you going to do something about your dog? Anyway, he starts to call me some names, and... But, you know, I tell the guy, you know, you shouldn't pick a fight with a guy with a shovel in his hand. So, oh, bada bing, bada boom, no problem.
is the trunk on your car always open just in case?
just in case.
Joe. Hey, before we go into any other topics, Joe, because we're going to talk about local business, I want you to tell me a little bit about what city councils can do for or to a business.
Well, first of all, you can always, you know, city sales taxes are always an issue. City ordinances in terms of what you can serve, when you can serve, occupancy limits, health code, which I realize you've got a tri-county health, but, you know, the city council can impose, other operational restrictions, hours of operations, where you can advertise, what kind of signs you can hang out, what kind of signs can't you hang out. Parking, you know, that all, you know, parking meters, what do you charge for parking? I'm sure there's a lot more, but, you know, those are half a dozen that come to mind.
Is there anything they can do for you? It sounds like all they can do is clobber you over the head.
Well, they can just not get in your way. You know, I think it was Reagan said, you know, government needs to get out of the way of business. So I think it's, you know, get out of the way, don't put these parking regulations in. Don't put these nonsensical ordinances that contribute nothing meaningful to public safety. What difference does it make? You know, if you can't serve liquor, you know, after 12 or 1, you know, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Okay, well, John, really quick here, if I may. How do you handle this? I mean, you're sitting on a council with a variety of views. How do you get them all on board to understand the needs of business?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And Joe, here's one that's even more dangerous that city councils can do. The state legislature in Colorado last year gave local governments the ability to have a higher than state required minimum wage. I mean, it's the craziest notion I've ever seen that you would, as a city council, raise the minimum wage in your community and put all the businesses in your community at a disadvantage to the businesses in the community right next door who may not do that. And that's one of those things that local governments can do. And it's one of those places where, boy, a local government really needs to exercise restraint if you've got this kind of a power. Luckily, we've been able to do that. Although Denver, the city of Denver, has raised their minimum wage above the state's minimum wage.
How much?
They're at $15 an hour, I believe, somewhere around that. And
did Denver go to 15?
I believe so, or close to. They may be a little less than that, but we're at 12.40 or 12.35, somewhere in that range for the state minimum wage. And so as a business person, I guess selfishly, I would love it if my competitors had to pay more than I have to pay. But really, it's not good for the region because, you know, our commerce happens over our city boundaries. It's not just about our one town. So, you know, there's a bunch of kind of those types of ideas that are bad. I think, Joe, you hit on a bunch of them that cities can do and cities have to exercise restraint. Here's what cities can do to help businesses, however, and you hit it right on the head. Stay out of the way. My view of city government is there for about five things. In our case, it's water and sewer. It's public safety, which is police. So a safe community is good for business. It's roads, it's parks and recreation, and it's city services. City services are things like when you need a building permit, you should be able to get one quickly and inexpensively so that your business can do what it needs to do to prosper. And in my job on the Arvada City Council, that's what I focus on. It's the core business of cities. We're not here to solve national social problems. We don't join the Paris Climate Accord, although there's lots of cities who attempted to. We're not about subsidizing people's housing. That's for other levels of government. At local government, we need to be focused and be excellent at the things we're supposed to do and stay away from the things we're not supposed to do, particularly those that hurt businesses.
I think city government is like an offensive line in football. When they're doing their best job, you never hear their name.
And I would agree. I would agree completely. You know, it's very unsexy work, but it's really rewarding. And when you do a good job of it, people shouldn't even really know it. But you have a smile on your face every time you drive down the street because everything's maintained and our infrastructure is in a good spot and our financial position is good.
Joe, is this mindset completely foreign to communist New Jersey
and New York? By the way, you just for a flashback on New York City, where, you know, the governor thinks that between the mayor of New York and the governor, where, oh no, you can't have a soda, that you can't have a big gulp soda, that's not healthy for you. We're going to use the power of government to tell you how big of a soda you can buy. Oh no, you can't have a salt shaker on the table because we don't think salt is good for you. I mean, that is to the extreme. I talk about government interfering with business. How big my soda can be? Can I have salt on my table? That's extreme and the exact opposite of what government should be doing.
Hey, Joe, even in New Jersey and places like that, though, are there gradations of this, of the nanny state? Do you have people on local city councils who disagree? Like this one wants to be ultra super nanny, and this one only wants to be sort of nanny.
Yeah, it happens. You've got the... I'm going to hate to say this, but you have the kind of ultra affluent, you know, limousine liberals, you know, in their, you know, $1 million homes. They tend to want to do this, more so than the kind of the middle class towns. Middle class towns are kind of a beer drinking, you know, kind of live and let live. It's really the ultra liberal, limousine liberal towns that have that overreach. Political overreach.
So not everyone in New York City government wants to have shock collars put on the wealthy in case they try to leave.
No, not everyone.
I just wonder. I thought maybe a few of them do. What's it like up there for you? I know you're dealing with diverse opinions, but it sounds like you guys have crafted at least a dialogue.
Yeah, we have a dialogue. We certainly have members of our council who feel like we're there, local government is there to deal with or solve social issues. I believe completely the opposite. I think we should stick to the basics. There are times when it does behoove us to cooperate, and I think that's a good thing to do. But I think it's also best to, I look at it as my business competes within the marketplace, cities can compete as well, and we're competing to have the most desirable place, and the most desirable places, particularly for our businesses, are places where it's a good place to do business. It's easy. It's inexpensive. It's you've got a vibrant population. You've got people who want to come do business with you. And I look at that, look at a lot of issues through that lens. And you can't do that if taxes are high, if the work you're required to do isn't being done very well, and if you've got all these distractions with things that really don't belong in city government.
Okay, let me ask this one of both of you to end this segment, okay? And Joe, let me go with you first.
I forgot one.
Oh, go.
Personal property tax. The city of Baltimore has been driving out businesses because they have a personal property tax. So if you own a liquor store, every bottle of liquor on your shelf at the end of the year gets taxed. If you have a pizza place, your pizza ovens, your car, so the I forgot all about personal property taxes imposed by the city. That's why Baltimore is becoming a ghost town, because you can look out the window in Baltimore, half a mile away, you can see the neighboring city, and the businesses and the jobs are moving a half a mile outside of town.
Joe, is it true that Baltimore is just basically the new Detroit?
It is. Anybody who could have left has left. And the only people left in Baltimore are the people who don't have the means to leave. They're in the top five in terms of homicide rate, bottom in terms of high school graduation. There is no business, no jobs. Their unemployment rate is even before the pandemic, was in the double digits. So Baltimore, if you want a study of how to do it wrong, look at what Baltimore did. They literally drove. I actually did a little dissertation. I'll try to dig it up and send it to you. You can pass it on to your guest.
Okay.
About how Baltimore did everything you could possibly do wrong to help drive business out of town.
Yeah, I think they actually did. Hey, here's my last topic I want to throw at both of you. Joe, you go first, and then John, you're up next. And it's homelessness. Okay, the homeless have overrun downtown Denver. They have, and basically they are being shown the welcome mat, and there's nothing being done. And by the way, look, I love all people. I care about all people, but I also care about business owners who are paying for that front, that business front, who are, you know, their taxes are cleaning that sidewalk, and they have to deal with this, and it's really hurting them. Joe, what is being done in New Jersey or isn't being, what should be done?
You know, I can't speak to it. I know we don't have the problem because New Jersey is not as accommodating. And I think it comes down to accommodation. If you look at the problem we have in the border, you know, we are so accommodating. It's basically, there's a saying in business and politics is that what you do is so loud people can't hear what you say. Well, whatever Biden says is dwarfed and drowned out by his actions, which are basically, come here, we will feed you, clothe you, free medical care, we'll put you up in a hotel,
right,
and we're not going to deport you. So the message is, we're open for business, come on in. That's the message. New Jersey is not as accommodating to homeless, and plus the weather isn't as nice here as it is in Denver and California either.
Well, and also in New Jersey, people are thinking about trunks. They're probably a little worried. Let me just put it this way. New Jersey, people are a little tougher there. I mean, this is Colorado. I'm sorry, but it is. It's a different mindset.
And by the way, the Soprano, families like the Soprano do exist in some of the old town Italian neighborhoods. Trust me, you don't want to be homeless in one of those towns because it'll be very unpleasant for you.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious.
Well, John, outside of mafia connections, what do you guys do to deal with the homeless up in Arvada?
Well, obviously we can't take the Soprano solution here in Arvada, Colorado. But, it's a vexing problem. It's a very difficult problem. Businesses and our neighborhoods are really getting the bad effects of it. For those of us with private property, I don't tolerate them on my property. As a city, we also have put into place laws. We do not allow camping in our parks. We have curfews. And all these laws apply to everybody. So not just picking on one group or another group. But here's the real problem. The real problem is, in my area, all the homeless people around, and I hesitate to even call them homeless people because mostly they're drug addicts, They all have warrants.
They're unhoused.
Unhoused. They all have warrants for their arrest, 100% of them. And we're just failing as a society right now in picking those people up, having them clear their legal problems so they can more actively participate in the commerce and in the community. And we're taking the opportunity they have away from them to get somewhere where they get clothed and fed and off of drugs for a while, some medical care and some opportunities to chart a different course. And right now it's really accelerated in my area. And I chalk it mostly up to the folks who are in this position. They want to be, it's how they want to be. And we're doing nothing to divert them off of it other than kind of just chasing them around, pushing them from Denver to Arvada and pushing them around from there. And it's a real vexing problem.
It's basically all carrot, no stick.
It is exactly all carrot, no stick.
All right, John Marriott, Arvada City Councilman, I'm going to let you go now, but once more time, how can people support you?
So if you'd like to support me, go to johnmarriott4arvada.com. You can learn a little bit more about me. Feel free to call me. My phone number's on there. I answer it every time it rings. I'd be happy to have a chat with anybody who would like to contact me.
Outstanding. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. And Joe, thanks for weighing in. I appreciate hearing from you.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, Joe, hang on over the break. And just a moment here. First, we're going to go to Flesh and Beck. Every legal issue is an obstacle course. So many hoops to jump through. But Kevin Flesh, FLESCH, he and his people hold your hand and walk you through each step. Then they get you the best result. He's ready for court. Is your opponent trial tested, trial ready? Flesh and Beck, 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, Novus Auto Glass. When does that chip on your windshield become a crack? At the worst time, when you're busiest. So get ahead of it and contact Novus Auto Glass. With cutting-edge technology, they're fast, friendly, and ready to take care of smart people like you. People who think ahead. Contact Novus Auto Glass, that's NOVUS, at rushtoreason.com/Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
These three factors will determine the size of your nest egg in retirement: how much you set aside, what sort of return you get on that money, and the age you start saving. Now, you can't turn back the clock and start saving for retirement sooner, but you can start planning right now, whether you're 46 or 66. Ask Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial how to create a new tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. You've already done the heavy lifting by contributing to your 401k or IRA all these years. Now it would be wise to have another separate investment account funded with after-tax dollars so that in the event of a financial emergency, you don't need to borrow or extract funds that are earmarked for retirement. We have no idea what will happen to the tax code in the future, so make certain a portion of your assets will continue to grow tax-free and generate tax-free income in the future. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Because of the pandemic, Connect for Health has opened up a special enrollment period so you can switch to a different health insurance plan. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts for help finding the right coverage at the best price. 303-423-0162. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush for today and one more day. And good news, folks, John will be back on Monday. Oh, thank goodness. I'm waiting, and I know you are too. On the line, we have Jersey Joe. Joe, what else you got for me?
Well, I got to run real quick. Just an observation. Your listeners can check this out for themselves. But I don't know if you've noticed, but over the past 5 or 6 days, there have been no more Asian hate crimes in this country. Now, a lot of Asian people have been getting hit with hammers and cinder blocks and beaten up and stabbed, but there are no more Asian hate crimes. These are now random acts of violence. You know why they've gone from hate crimes to random acts of violence?
Oh, yes, I do. Go ahead and tell us.
Well, 6 of the last 6 serious attacks on Asian Americans have all been, the assailants have all been African Americans.
Right.
So we don't call them hate crimes anymore. We now classify them as random acts of violence.
Just random.
So, just random. You know, it was 5 men and 1 African American woman have attacked and seriously injured Actually, in one case, it was a couple. It was 6 incidents, 7 people, because one was a couple. Both the husband and wife were attacked.
It's absolutely horrifying, Joe. And I mean, it is, you know, I hate to poke fun at a situation like this because it's absolutely horrible. But I'm going to be honest here. They only consider it a hate crime if it comes from privilege.
Privilege, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
If you or I did it, it'd be a hate crime. If you're African-American assailant, it's just a random act of violence. So
exactly.
Put that aside, don't want to dwell. The other thing I found interesting or kind of amazing is the gun sales. The FBI just came out with gun sales through April of this year. Now, let me put something in perspective. 10 years ago, 2010, there were 14.4 million guns sold in this country in 12 months, a little over 1 million a year. Last year, which was an election year, it was 39.7 million guns were sold, over 3 million guns a month average. So we have tripled, in 10 years, we have tripled, almost tripled, the number of guns being sold in this country annually. Now we're 2021. Joseph Robinette Biden, of course, we had the riots and
right.
Biden, and now he's talking about guns. We have been averaging, first 4 months of this year, 4 million gun sales per month. Per month. We're going to shatter last year's record of 39.7 million guns sold last year. We're going to at this pace, we've already sold 16 million guns in the first 4 months of the year.
Joe, this is what, really quick here, this is what happens when we do not allow the police to police. When we
That's
don't,
correct.
Yes, when we don't let those who are working for us to shut down violence, we're going to arm ourselves. That's just the way it is. This is being driven by fear. I mean, wise fear.
And the other interesting thing is that there's been a mix. It used to be that 88% of the guns sold were pistols. Now almost a third of the guns being sold are long guns, rifles, AR-15, shotguns.
Yeah, why is that?
Homeowners who are not comfortable don't feel the need to carry a concealed permit, but there are, I believe, again, speculation on my part, but I believe it's homeowners who are not comfortable with a pistol, don't want to get a concealed carry, but they want a gun to defend their homes with. And that's why I think you're seeing this shift to what, knowledgeable people call long guns, rifles and shotguns for home defense. We haven't seen a spike in the number of hunters. In fact, the number of hunters has been declining steadily. So the increase in long guns is strictly people buying them for home defense. Now, one other interesting thing I stumbled across just a little while ago. This really struck me.
Yeah.
Don't know if you had a chance to read my email.
I have been in show prep. What was it?
Well, I sent an email. I was looking at the FBI, but they slice and dice this data all different ways. Guess which state by far, by a factor of 4, has had the most gun sales so far this year.
Oh, this one I did see, but I don't want to give it away. You tell it.
Okay. Now, most people would think Texas. The three biggest states in the union are California, Texas, and Florida. Right?
I honestly would have guessed California. That was my guess, and I was wrong.
Right. So anyway, so most people would have said Texas. So let me just, before I tell you what the number is. So Texas, 700,000 guns, and Texas has a population of 30 million people. California? California, 500,000 guns, and they have a population of 40 million. Florida, with a population of 20 million. How many gun sales in Florida with 20 million people? We are 670,000. So they're all kind of right on par in terms of guns per capita.
Yeah, percentage.
California's a little low because of their stringent gun laws. The one that blew me away with 1.1 million gun sales per month.
At what population?
12.7 million people.
So, okay, wait, 1.1 million guns, only 12.7 million people. And what is the state?
Illinois, the home of Chicago.
Hey! Where they try to ban guns everywhere they possibly can. Now, by the way, it's hard to buy a gun in Chicago. Do you think a lot of this is being bought outside Chicago?
Well, it's interesting. Under federal law, you cannot go to a neighboring state, buy a pistol, and leave the store with it. So if you live in Illinois, but a long gun, you can drive to Indiana, buy a rifle in Indiana, put it in your trunk, and drive back to Illinois with it.
I'll bet a lot of people do.
Yep, I bet a lot of people do.
All right, thanks, Joe. See you tomorrow. You take care.
You too, Danny. Bye-bye.
You bet. Okay, folks, that'll do it for today. If you missed the first hour, it replays next. Tomorrow, I'm joined by Richard Beatty. Yes, he doesn't just do traffic. He will be here with me. Until then, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.